Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you, each and every one of you. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Welcome once again to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I'm so glad that you have taken time out of your busy schedule to join me here tonight. Amen, that we dive into the Word of God and hear what thus saith the Lord as we prepare our hearts and our minds to receive from Him. Amen, not only just for just to come together and suck together with each other, but that we are receiving a word that is going to change our very life, that we're going to receive a word that's going to guide us, receive a word that's going to change our hearts, our minds, and just cause us to pursue after Him all the more. Amen. Amen. But before I begin, I just want to give the announcements for this evening, and then immediately following the announcements, go right into prayer and then the Word of God, letting you know that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., please join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast with none other than my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen. That's 7 p.m. every Tuesday night. Every Thursday night, amen, at 7 p.m., same time, join me for Prophetic Atmosphere. Amen. And you can also join us live, L-I-V-E, live, amen, every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. and every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. right here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries for our live worship experience. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. And you can hear all of our broadcasts and see us at www.ctkr.org. Amen. As you go to that website, you can look at the tab, media tab. You can see all of our shows, all of our broadcasts there, as well as go back into our archives and catch up with what God has been speaking to our apostle, Apostle Christopher McQueen. Amen. And we'd just love to even be able to hear from you. So while you're also there, please contact us. Go to the Contact Us page. Let us hear from you. Amen. And what God is doing in your life. If you need someone to touch and agree with you in prayer even, amen, as you're on our website, amen, follow the instructions right there, and someone will contact you at our earliest convenience. Even for those of you who would like to not only become a vision partner and a prayer partner, financial partner with this ministry, helping us to support the gospel and help us spread it all around the world, even if you would like myself or Apostle McQueen to come visit, amen, at your church, go to the Contact Us tab at the top of our website, www.cctkr.org. Amen. Once again, let us know about the instructions there. We will definitely reach back out to you, amen, be able to join you. We love the fellowship, amen. We are definitely a church that loves the fellowship, amen. And for those of you who are right here in the Brevard County area, especially city of Cocoa, we invite you to join us right here for our live services at 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121, Cocoa, Florida. Amen. That's 956 Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121 in the beautiful city of Cocoa, Florida. We love to see you. Love to see your face. Amen. Come experiencing, come expecting. Amen. The word from the Lord. Come expecting a change. Come expecting to receive something from Him. You will not be disappointed. Amen. Those who would love to join us in prayer on Saturday, we have prayer 9 a.m. in the morning. Amen. 9 a.m. service starts immediately following 9:30. Sunday morning, prayer is at 8 a.m. Amen. Immediately following prayer service, 8:30 begins the morning worship. So we definitely look forward to seeing you here and joining us. Amen. For a high time in the Lord. Amen. And finally, want to let you know that we do have Facebook pages, so please go to our Facebook page and like us there. Locate us under Christ the King Redemptive Ministry, or you can find us under Women of Prophetic Destiny as well. Amen. Let us hear from you and let us know how this ministry is blessing your life. Amen. Glory to God. Now, those are the announcements for this morning, people of God. Amen. This evening. Amen. Let us go into prayer, and then immediately following prayer, let us begin to delve in this word on tonight. Amen. Let us pray. Precious Father, we bless you, we thank you, and we glorify you for all that you have done. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our King. We, your people, come to you just praising you and magnifying you and worshiping your holy name. There is nobody like our God. There is nobody like our Lord and Savior. Father, even now we bless you. We lift up our hands and we glorify you with the fruit of our lips. Father, we ask that you would begin to wash us from all of our sins. God, you will forgive us for every sin of omission and commission. Wash us in your word tonight. Wash us in the blood of Jesus tonight. Purify our hearts. Purify our mind. God, if you see anything that is not like you, that does not represent you or the kingdom, we ask now that you would take it out of us in the name of Jesus. Save us again to the utmost, God. Make us a whole. Make us to begin to fall in love with your will, your assignment for us in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we ask that you would just begin to stir in us of a spirit of obedience, Father, that we would begin to walk out your statutes, walk out your laws, walk out our purpose and our destiny in you, fulfilling your kingdom assignment in the mighty name of Jesus. Help us to understand who we are and whose we are, God, as we begin to line our lives up with what you have called us to do. We give your name praise. We give your name all the glory and all the honor. We thank you for everything that you have done. Now, Father, anoint these lips for clay. God, speak through me, Holy Spirit, on tonight. Let something be said that will begin to shift the lives of your people. Get all the glory on tonight, God. We thank you. I thank you. I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, glory to God once again. We thank God and we praise God for all from whom all blessings flow on this evening. Well, people of God, I just want to begin to ask that you would turn your Bibles with me to the book of John on tonight. Amen. The book of John, starting at chapter 1, starting at the 14th verse. We're going to read there. Amen. And then we're going to go to John chapter 4. Amen. And we're just going to read through it. Very familiar passage, amen, that everyone has read. We all know about the Samaritan woman, amen, and her discourse, amen, with Jesus Christ, and basically her life being changed, amen, by none other than the Word of God. So if I'm looking for a topic or tonight, I want to call this topic face-to-face with the Word. Amen. Face-to-face with the Word. Amen. And so often for many of us, just like this Samaritan woman, we have lived our own lives. We have been conditioned to doing what we want to do when we want to do it. For many of us, we even live in a society where if it feels good to me, then I'm going to do it later for what you're talking about. But if it feels right to me, if it's right in my own eyes, if I don't have any conviction, whether it is contrary to the word of God or not, as long as I'm living the life, the depth life that I want to live, and as long as I'm making sure that I try to dot every I and cross every T and show up where I'm supposed to be, as long as I'm going through the formalities, then even if, you know, I may be missing the mark, I may not be lining all the way up with this word, I may not be pursuing him with everything that's within me, but you know what, I'm still saved, I'm still living for the Lord, and he should be satisfied. But how many of you know that if God has his hand on you, amen, then we are all called to live a life of holiness. We are all called to change our lifestyle. The word of God was not created, amen, so that we can make it fit to our needs. No, that's not it. The word of God was created so that we would be changed into his image, into his character, amen, that when he looks at us, when Jesus, when God looks at us, he sees his reflection, the reflection of his son reflected back at him. Amen. And how many of us can say that when he looks at us that he sees his reflection? I don't want anybody to answer that so quickly, because the reality is a lot of times when the Savior begins to really look at us, I'm not too sure he really sees what we think he sees. So you may be saying in your mind, well, I know he sees his reflection in me because, you know, I am a child of the Most High King and he created me in his image and in his likeness. Yes, he did do that. But the question is, are you fulfilling his will in your life? In other words, is your food, is your task, is your assignment to fulfill his purpose in your life? Or are you still trying to find a way, amen, to make sure that you fit your design and fit someone else's design, or try to bring yourself to be comforted and to look like and to sound like somebody else that may not be what God has called you to do? One thing we have to understand, amen, and I'm getting ready to get into this word, so just hold with me for just a second. One of the things is that we have to understand that in order for us to be like Christ, I mean to really be like him, we have to recognize that our goodness, our own self-righteousness, our own being, who I am, my image, my identity, amen, my own personal identity can only be wrapped up in him. I have to strip off everything that I am. I have to strip off everything that I think that I am. For some of us, we got to strip off everything that other people have placed up on us just so that we can become exactly who he's called us to be. And that, my friends, is a very difficult and at times a very challenging thing, because as we have grown, as we walk through this life, as we begin, as different people have come in and out of our lives, the interesting thing that we have to realize is that every person that you come into contact with leaves residue, leaves fingerprints on you. And some fingerprints that have been left are good. They molded you, they shaped you, they created some character in you, amen. But then there were others that have placed fingerprints on you that left scars, that left wounds, amen, that left dark places, empty spaces, amen. And that battles constantly with the image, amen, that God himself has called us to become. Now, in the book of John, he said in 1 John 1 and 14, he said, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bared witness of him, Christ, saying that this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me, and his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace." Amen. And the word, that word was Jesus. And God His Son, Jesus, God became flesh. And His Son dwelt among us, amen, to do what? To do absolutely nothing but to redeem us back to the state, our original state when He created Adam and Eve, amen, to redeem Himself back to Himself, amen, so that we will begin to walk in our full potential of what and who He created us. But then here we go over to John chapter 4 and 7, and here we have Jesus having a discourse with a woman of Samaria coming to draw water, and He says to her, "Give me to drink," reading out of the King James Version, "for His disciples had gone away into the city to buy food," starting at verse 7. Now I'm in 8, now let's hit 9. "Then the woman of Samaria said to Him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman?'" For Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. "And Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says this to you, give me a drink, you would have asked Him, and He would have given you living water.'" Amen. Amen. Now, one of the things that we definitely have to understand in this passage of Scripture is that Jesus died for all. Not for some, not just for you, not for just for me, but Jesus Himself came, amen, and died for all mankind. So right there we have to understand that we don't have the right to pick and choose who we think ought to make it into the kingdom and who's not. We don't have the right to build these denominations, amen, that bring separatism and self-righteousness and religion that comes in and says, "We gonna make it, but you ain't gonna make it, and that's too bad because we're the ones with the secret, we're the ones that know the truth, and you're over there believing this, that, and the other, and you just may not make it. But you know what? I'm not even gonna pray for you because God said that as long as I'm going in the straight path, I don't have to worry about nobody else." No, Jesus died for all. And once you know Him, it is your responsibility, it's my responsibility, everyone's responsibility that we tell somebody else about Him. Why? Because somebody told you about Him. Somebody began to open up their mouth and begin to share with you who Jesus Christ was and how He died for your sins, and that you no longer have to live the lifestyle that you are living, the lifestyle that was taking you straight to the gates of hell, but that there was a Savior, amen, who loved you enough to die for your sins, that all you had to do was open up your mouth and confess Him as being Lord and Savior of your life. And the minute that you said that, He came in to suck with you and live with you and change your life brand new. He died for all. In fact, let's go here. Because somebody out there is like, "Well, yeah, I know He died for all. You know, I accepted Him." But there's more to it than that. Let's go to Jeremiah 3 and 13. Amen. Jeremiah 3. Glory to God. Amen. Let's read this out of, he said, "Listen, once we come to the knowledge, amen, once we come to the understanding that all are guilty, that all have sinned, only acknowledge your guilt, that you've rebelled against the Lord your God, amen, and then as you begin to, and it says, and scatter your favors among foreigners under every green tree that you have not obeyed my voice." Amen. So there was a point in time in each and every one of our lives where we decided that we wanted to follow our own way of doing things. We wanted to live our own life. We wanted to do whatever we wanted to do. But then Jesus Christ came and we accepted Him into our heart, into our lives. Our minds changed, our outlook changed, amen, and we began to see things as he saw them. We began to have compassion upon people that we normally would not have compassion on. We began to recognize and realize that certain things that we did would convict us, amen. We actually felt bad, whereas before salvation, you didn't care if you cussed them out, you didn't care how you acted, you didn't care how you looked, you didn't really care what you said. But then when Christ really came into your heart and you may have said something or did something, the Holy Spirit would actually convict you, amen. He would bring conviction to your heart to say, that's not me. You need to change that. You need to, you know, you need to say that a little softer. You need to, you know, come back and actually say you're sorry for how you did that. You need to not take that without paying for it. There's certain things, amen, he begins to start changing your walk and changing your lifestyle. Amen? And as even as he was dealing with the Samaritan woman, as he began to talk to her, he began to challenge her lifestyle. He began to challenge the way that she looked at things, the way that she thought about things. And here's the interesting thing that I liked about it as I was reading that passage, that story, is that assignments happen any place and anywhere. My husband always tells us, he said, that ministry happens. I may not always like it that way, you know, because especially, you know, prophets, you know, I have, like, things in my own mind that I'm trying to get to and trying to take care of. And then all of a sudden God happens to send somebody along the way in the route of me doing certain things and trying to take care of certain things. And all of a sudden now it's time to stop and minister to someone. And it may not be always at a comfortable, convenient time. Here it is. Jesus is ministering to this woman after he's walked for a very long space of time, and then he sends the disciples away because he began to minister to her secretly, amen. Didn't need all the distractions around him. He just wanted to begin to talk to her because he knew at that moment he was getting ready to change her life. He was getting ready to change her destiny. He was getting ready to change her very existence. In other words, he was getting ready to bring her back to her full purpose. Why she was created. Assignments are not always comfortable. I'm going to let that sit for a second. Assignments from God are not always comfortable. I know we look at television. I know we see all the big names. I know we see the lights. I know we see all the crowds and everything, and we think that's ministry. That's true ministry. I just got to get to that place. Once I get there, then I know I have arrived. But the reality is that for some, it's just a show. Because ministry, true ministry, you have to be willing to get down in the trenches with other people. Sometimes ministry can just be flat out ugly. I know what I'm talking about. The old saints, amen, did not have any problem with being able to cast a demon out at any given moment or time. They didn't even allow one to even be comfortable in their presence. They would jump up and be like, in the name of Jesus, and get the laying hands and the blood of Jesus, and Satan come out, and we cast you down. And as people began to manifest, they did not have any trouble with getting down on the floor with people in the trenches, getting down on them and laying hands and casting out the other, crying, oh, Jesus, say Jesus, 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 the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. They didn't mind doing that, and they would stay there for hours, however long it took the person, amen, to get that breakthrough for deliverance. But, you know, once they got delivered, when they got done, and Satan was defeated, when that person got up off the floor or however the situation may have happened, when it was all of the dust cleared, you knew that God met that person face to face. Many people today are pillars of churches because someone who knew Christ, someone who knew that they had an assignment, someone who recognized that assignments are not always comfortable. Assignments just happen. But you have to be in a place where you hear the voice of God and be able to move when he tells you to move and be able to minister effectively the way that he wants you to minister. Amen. And then many people, they have gone through the trenches with others that even now that they have to become pillars and they have to become strong powers in many ministries because someone took time with them. Assignments are not always comfortable. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing drive-by ministry, drive-by religion, drive-by church. Folks are coming in church one way, leave out the same way. They go through the motions. They go through the calisthenics, amen, but they're still just as bound up, crooked, crazy as when they came in the door. Their lives have not changed. All they did was empty out their pockets, amen. They've gone through spiritual exercises. They've all decreed, declared, threw the money in the air, circled around, did a whole bunch of other stuff, but there has been no life changing. They have not met the Spirit of the living God. The Holy Spirit, the wind of the anointing has not come into the place, and they hear messages that bring that sound good. They hear messages, motivational messages where they clap to, but it's nothing that's going to convict. It's nothing that's going to cause them to be changed. It's nothing that's going to say, I feel uncomfortable in the presence. There was a time, amen, in the body of Christ where people were coming to the church, and no matter what the situation, they were not the man or the woman of God who was preaching the unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. You could not sit there and not be comfortable. Something was said in that word as the man of God began to preach, as the word of God began to go forth. Something in the atmosphere would begin to grind at anything that was completely contrary, amen, to the Spirit of the living God. In other words, if you had some demonic forces that were either following you on the inside of you or around you someplace, somehow, you could not go into a church where the anointing truly was and sit there and be comfortable crossing your legs and your arms. No. There was somebody, God sent somebody to you, an intercessor, a prayer warrior, maybe the pastor laying his. Somebody, amen, picked you up in the spirit realm and said, you know what, we need to go to the altar. Or they would even come to you because some of us were just too prideful to go to the altar. The enemy has by the throat, but we refused to go to the altar because we didn't want nobody to know what was really going on with us. So we sat there and suffered in silence. Well, thank God for Jesus, because then he finally took someone and allowed them to pick you up in the spirit. That's why I love the intercessors. That's why I love prayer warriors, because as they begin to seek after him, they begin to call after the name of the Lord, then he will begin to show them things, amen? And they will find you in the spirit realm, pick you up in the spirit, and begin to deal with that very demonic force, deal with that situation, deal with that hurt, deal with those chains, deal with those fetters. But by the time they got through with you, you were free, free, free. But we don't have that anymore. Or if I shouldn't say we don't have that anymore. There are men and women of God, there are churches out there that are doing that. In fact, Christ the King, there's a ministry that does that. But it's far few and in between churches where you see the true anointing, the living anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost, the cloud, the glory cloud, begin to come in the room and begin to deal with the lives of people. Most of the time it's the show and we're on a clock and we got to get to our next service, so we're moving things along as fast as we possibly can. Two worship songs, one fast, two slow, and then we bring up the speaker and then we'll put the announcements on the screen, and we'll let everybody read, and then it's open up the word, and they make sure that they're eloquent and say the right things and do the right things, and you know, and then they say, okay, lift up your hands, repeat these words after me, and then it's like, okay, thank God, see y'all next week. Don't forget, we're doing this series, blah 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 blah. Show up for next week, and then we usher and rush people off. Even those churches that tend to do altar call, we're quick to rush people off. Because we got to get ready for the next service. My show. I got to get ready for my show. Assignments are not always comfortable. But yet, we have to understand with loving kindness, he draws us.
I don't know about you, but I remember God drawing me. And what's so funny, and there was a time before I even knew what the Holy Spirit was, I grew up in church in a way. My husband actually lived in the church because he was an organist, so he had no other choice but to be in the church. He had a mother and father that were pastors. Amen. One was an elder pastor and one was an evangelist, so he had no other choice but to live right. He just didn't have choice. And there it is, no choice. However, prophetess here had choice because I had a mother and father that we started off in the church as a young child, as a toddler, we were in church, but I do remember when there were certain transitions that went on in our lives. Amen. Church was the farthest thing from our minds. And so when I should have been in a place where seeds were being deposited, where I should have been getting rooted and grounded in God, that wasn't happening. But what I love about Jesus is that, like the Samaritan woman, he came where I was. He found me. He took time off the beaten path and found me. Nobody else was around. Mom wasn't around. Dad was nowhere around. I just happened to say, you know, he would draw me. When I talked about the loving kindness, have I drawn, but he drew me into him. I didn't just willingly come on my own. He drew me. What was very interesting about it, I remember, because he would begin to and I know people will always say, well, you know, I was in church and this happened. Truthfully, people of God ministers to people in any aspect, any arena, just like the Samaritan woman while he was sitting over there at the well. He wasn't in the synagogue. He wasn't in a church house. He wasn't in the courts. He was sitting, he was just in the neighborhood, happened to be passing by, going through. But he went through with a purpose, and that purpose was to get this Samaritan woman, to bring her into salvation, to bring her into the kingdom. And like her, he brought me into the kingdom. He would begin to, even before I was saved, it would just be certain things that God would begin to start drawing my heart towards. And I remember, because I pretty much had my life all mapped out. My husband always preached this. I had mine mapped out at a certain age. I was going to do this. At this age, I was going to do that. And even I was going, my whole thing is I was either going to join a church by a certain age, and I was going to make sure that I gave my tithes and offerings. Didn't even know truly what tithes and offerings were about. Didn't even know what the purpose for giving, but I just knew that I had to give my tithes and offerings just to make sure that I was going to sit on the back row, but I'll make sure that I would show up, join an auxiliary or two, but I'll make sure that I would show up every Sunday, pay my homage, amen, like many of you do today, and then I was going to go about doing my own thing. But however, he had another plan in mind. Yes, he did. I went to service one night. I said, I'm going to. In fact, I remember I came home and I said, I'm going to go to church. Had no intention on going to church. Never even had the words in my mouth to go to church, okay? I was a teenager. I was out partying. I was out, or a young adult. I was out partying and doing my own thing, living my life, glad to be grown. You understand what I'm saying? Didn't have to answer to nobody. And I said, I'm going out. I remember New Year's Day. I'm going out. I'm going to party. I'm going to do my thing. And that was it, the beginning of 21 and moving on. But what was so interesting that even as that night while I was sitting up there, music pumping, we're going through, went out with my girls, but I was bored to death. Couldn't get drunk enough. Couldn't get, you know, everything was just good. Nothing really made sense. And I said, you know what, it's just time to go home. In fact, I remember we came home so early. My mom looked at me like, what are y'all doing here? That's how early the night ended. But all the while I was drinking and hanging out in that club, it was just something, there was a feeling upon me that was like, enough of this. There's more for you than this. You have a purpose. There's more for you than this. And no matter what I did to try to shut that voice out, I kept hearing, it's more for you. I have more for you. And so I go home. She's looking at me like, what are you doing home? I said, I don't know. We were bored to death. And then I said, you know what? I think I'm going to go to church in the morning. She looked at me like, huh? Church? You? Yes, I'm going to go to church in the morning. And I remember, people of God, right before I even went to bed that night, I remember grabbing the Bible and reading the story of David, King David, reading the story from front to back. Little did I know, little did I know what God was really giving me a glimpse into. He was basically giving me a glimpse into who and what I would be going through and the destiny that he's had upon my life, but I didn't understand that then. And that morning, that next day, I got up and I went to service, amen, and it just so happened that my godfather, who I hadn't seen in a number of years, was preaching in the church, he and his wife, amen. And under that anointing, I decided that day to give my life to the Lord. But here, what I just talked about in the opening, he began to minister to me about the lifestyle. He began to minister to me about God's purpose. He began to minister to me about the life that he wants you to live, and that it wasn't just about the hell and the brimstone. Yes, that was a part of the message, but the whole thing was is that you have an expected end. And even with the woman at the well, she had an expected end. And for many of us, we're trying to throw away our kingdom destiny because we don't understand that God has already created for us an expected end. Huh? And for some, he had to come get us because we were still refusing to go. We knew we were hurting. We were in pain. We were crippled. We were diseased. We were on our on death's door. Suddenly, we had only one more step, but we were going into the gates of hell, and Satan was sitting there with his arms open like, I'm ready, come. I'm come right now. And we're like, yeah, I'm on my way. Yes, I am. And God himself had to come and minister the same way. Even while I was sitting there listening to the altar call, as the altar call was going forth and the people were going up and giving their lives to the Lord, I was still sitting right there in my in the seat, shaking because I did not want, I knew I needed to go. I'm trying to shake off the anointing because I didn't understand that's what his presence was on. I didn't understand it at that time. I'm trying to shake the anointing off of me. I'm trying to wipe the tears from my eyes. I'm like, okay, just give me a minute. I'm going to get myself together. And thank God for, again, the saints who are connected. One of them picked me up in the Holy Ghost, amen, and came over and said, baby, it's time to come in. She didn't make no big spectacle. She wasn't trying to, you know, huckle and shy. She said, baby, it's time to come in, and I'm going to go up there with you. And that is when my life changed. And he said, even with this woman, he said, if you even understood, oh, wow. He said, if you even understood who it was that was speaking to you, the gift that was speaking to you, you would be asking all these crazy questions. How many of you are asking crazy questions because you truly really don't understand his voice? You really don't understand his presence. He's wooing you. He's been speaking to you. He's sending people to you. He's even at night, you have dream after dream after dream. The Lord is showing you and unveiling himself before you and showing the greatness of who he's called you to be and wanting you to fully understand, and yet you're still sitting there talking about, I don't get it. I don't understand. What do you mean by this? What he means is that it's time for you to stop fighting and just come on in. Well, I'm saved, prophetess, you know, I'm saved there, yeah, but have you really fully accepted the call? Have you really fully accepted the assignment? Have you fully accepted his will for your life? Or are you still making excuses for where you are and why you have not moved past this point? Verse 11, the woman said to the man, sir, I have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep, and whence then thou hast living water? Verse dropped down to verse 13, and he basically told her, whoever drinks of this water shall live again. But even after he began to prophesy to her, tell her her business, amen, not for the point of embarrassing her, but showing her, I see you. I see where you are. Tune in and women of God who are connected with the Father, can still see. We can see where you are.
I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care if you put Jimmy Choo on it. I don't care how much weed you got in your hair. I don't care how you dress yourself up and keep yourself nicely trimmed up. I don't care what, you know, stack it in, strap it down, whatever the case may be. The whole point is that we're not looking, leaders, true men and women of God, are not looking at you. They're looking past you and looking into your spirit. And that's what they're trying to minister to. They're looking and they're seeing who God has truly called you to be. But not only that, we can also begin to see all the roadblocks, all the weeds, all the hedges, amen, that the enemy has set up in your life, whether it was by his design, the enemy's design, or some of us, whether by our own personal decisions that we make in life, amen, we have allowed certain people, as I talked about earlier, certain people to put their fingerprints up on us, amen, that keeps us from pursuing, amen, the purpose in the kingdom. Keep us from pursuing who God has called us to be. Keep you from pursuing that book. Keep you from pursuing that dream. Keep you from pursuing that ministry. Keep you from pursuing loving someone else besides yourself. Keep you from allowing others to love you because they actually like you, huh? Those walls that we build up around ourselves that allow us to stay dead in jobs, that allow us to stay without pursuing education, that allow us not to begin to embrace life in general. So God gives you those dreams. He gives you his word. He sends men and women of God to minister to you. He speaks prophetically over your life. And even for some of you who believe that a prophet can't speak to a person that's unsaved, that's a lie. Amen. Because there was a time that I was not saved, and God still took time to step out and send somebody to me and say, hey, this is what the Lord has to say to you. So it's not just for the people in your church. The gifts, plural, are not just for us in the four walls, but it is for the whole body. It is for all of us to partake. Everyone that he allows you to share your gift with, it is for them to begin to have a taste of who the master is, and so that he can begin to draw them unto him. We're not called to win everybody, but we're called to win somebody. So after he ministers to her and he prophesies to her, and she begins to unveil herself, and then all of a sudden she says, well, I perceive that you're a prophet, and our fathers worship here. So here she goes trying to build that wall. And I want to encourage those of you who have been trying to minister to people who seem to just have walls up constantly, who just have shut their hearts to hearing the voice of the Lord. We have to understand, people of God, that hurt people. So it's easy for us to say, well, you know what? They ought to have been over that thing by now. They should have been over that by now. It's been far too long. But sometimes, and I'm not talking now, I'm talking about those who are coming into salvation and we're challenging them to be healed. Now, if you've been saved 25 years and you still angry at your sister because she took your boyfriend, you got a problem. We're not talking about that. What I'm saying is, as one who is saved, and here's the thing, when Jesus began to minister to her, he did not allow her every excuse that she brought up, he chopped it down with the word. And even as he chopped it down with the word, he was steadily pouring healing ointment in those wounds. So every time he got her with the word and pulled up the lies that were within her, pulled down the untruths, pulled out the hurts, pulled out maybe she was abandoned when she was growing up, and maybe she had a father who didn't love her. So every time he began to deal with those issues and deal with those excuses, he would pull it up out at the root, but he would also pour in the oil of healing. You cannot be an effective minister and all you're doing is pulling up, but you're not pouring in. You have to pour in the love of Christ. You have to pour, God is love. You have to pour his love, and it's not just
to make sure that we expose everything. I'm so sick of it, and the Holy Spirit had to deal with me. He said, I'm more than just trying to expose people and pull the cover off of people. Yes, that's a part of tearing down, rooting out, but you're also called to build and to plant. So after you've done devastated everything, pulled everything up, you cannot leave that area decimated. Our job, amen, is not only to take out whatever the enemy has done, level the ground. Now our job is to come in, get a project coordinator, get a crew together, and begin to pour in and build and rebuild. And while we're rebuilding, showing them how to maintain, to build and to plant. I'm building you back up. Yes, I tore everything down that the enemy has done. I exposed it, but I can't leave you in that broken place. I can't leave you in that broken state. Now I have to pour the oil in you. I have to pour the word in you. I have to show you what it takes to maintain. I have to show you what it takes to make it. I have to show you so that you too can be able to stand on your own two feet, and you don't have to lean and depend on me, and you can begin to serve God in everything that with everything that you have. As I show you, you show someone else. So as she begins to make excuses as to why, well, our fathers worship in this mountain, and yeah, in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And he said to her, believe me, the hour comes when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. You don't even know who you're worshiping. You don't even know who you're dealing with. So there he is. He exposed her right there and said, get that religious demon up out of here. You don't even have a clue who and what, who you are. You don't have a clue what you're even dealing with. You're not even capable of it right now. So we're casting that right down. I'm pulling that line up, that religious demon up at the root. In the meantime, I'm pouring in the oil. So here he says, the hour cometh, and now is, I'm bringing it to you, I'm bringing truth to you, when true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. So as he pulled down every excuse, and that is what true men and women of God, that's what apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists do. They begin to confront those excuses. And the thing about the enemy, he's so clever. He is clever, but it says we're not ignorant from the we're not no longer ignorant of the enemy's devices. But here's the thing that we must recognize, people of God, is that you know when it's not a spirit of the Lord, because the spirit of the Lord is always one of truth. And any time when truth begins to expose, we want to hide. That's when you know the enemy is a part of it, because we want to hide. When people start saying, you know what, you do this in this situation right here, and every time we try to get over this, this is what happens, and you continuously make excuses for yourself as to the reason why it can't happen, what can't happen here, this happened over here, and no, but this time, and no. You know what, because they say, if they didn't say anything to me, it wouldn't have happened. And if I didn't move here, no, this right here, no, quit giving it every effort, because this right here, I'm right here. Deal with this right here. And the enemy likes to hide in the darkness, so he's always causing us to pull at leaves when we need to pull at the weeds and get to the root of the situation. But the challenge is that we don't like to be exposed. We don't like to open ourselves up. We don't want to get right down to the very point of what our issues are. Now, here's what's interesting to me, is that sometimes our very issues are really us. It has nothing to do with mama. It has nothing to do with what daddy did. It has nothing to do with what the exes did. It has nothing to do with what our kids are doing. It really gets down, right down to us. I don't want to do this. I don't want to expose myself to this. I don't want to have to deal with talking to this person, because I really don't like this person. It's not the fact that you don't like the person. Maybe, amen, the person is really excelling and doing something great that God called you to do, but because you refuse to do it, because you refuse to go, because you're still, you know, making, setting up shop over there where you are, the whole thing while you're watching this person go forth and do what God has called them to do, and you find every excuse to tear it down, rip it up, it ain't this, it ain't that, it could have been better with this, that, that, but you won't step out. So you really don't want to talk to that person because basically the mirror is being reflected at you that you're just being plain old disobedient. What has God really called you to do? What has He really caused you to do, called you to do? Plain old disobedient? But yet we get in praise, we get in worship, we fall out, we say, Lord, I say yes to your will, yes to your way. You say it, I'll go. You send me, I'll go. We say all of that. We snot, we cry, we shout, we fall out, we roll over for folks. And yet, when He begins to chase, He says, okay, I'm going to give you a chance. And He begins to test you on that yes. Why is there nothing changing for me? Because you keep failing the test. All He asked you to do is A, B, and C. Well, doesn't God know that, you know, I'll do what He says do, but until it comes, until it looks like, until they, well, when this happens, well, when they come and tell me, every excuse we make for the reason why we cannot move forward, God has to come and tear that thing up. We can't even, for some of us, we can't even blame it on the enemy anymore. That's how long we've been fighting with some things on the inside of us. Lord, deliver me from me. When we say, forgive me for my transgressions, my sin, deliver me from myself. For some of us, it has nothing to do with the enemy. It's just our plain disobedience and reason for not doing what God has called us to do, not pursuing what He's called us to do because we don't like it, we don't feel comfortable in it, we want somebody to just hand it to us on a silver platter with a gold spoon cut up in little baby pieces. And you know what, while you're there, can you feed me too? That's what we want. Or we look across the street and we see so-and-so, Dr. Reverend so-and-so, and, you know, he's got an entourage following behind him or her, and somebody to carry the Bible, somebody to carry the purse, somebody to carry the book, the case, the briefcase, somebody to carry the coat. And here I am struggling just to get three people to come into the door. Well, be thankful over the three people. Listen, if we all, prophets included, if we all would just look at what He has given us, really God has given each and every one of us everything that you really need. He's put it on the inside of you. I know it's so simple, but yet it's so difficult to believe. Everything that He has called you to do, that God has called you to do, I didn't say what you called yourself, everything that God has ordained for you to do, He has already placed it on the inside of you. If He did not, He would not send someone to prophesy it to you. He would not give it to you in a dream. He would not speak it to you through His word. He would not minister to it in the ways that only God can minister. He would not be. He wouldn't speak it to you. If He did not call you, if God didn't call you to be a millionaire, He's not going to talk to you about millionaires. He's not going to open your vision up to seeing how people make money. He's not going to give you resources. He's not going to begin to explain to you the concepts of how to become a millionaire if that is not His will for your life. And for some of us, we're frustrating ourselves because we're trying to live somebody else's dream. We're trying to live somebody else's God-ordained dream. And we're frustrating ourselves. I'm trying to help somebody here. Helping you, helping myself at the same time. We frustrate ourselves with God. We're frustrated with God. We're frustrated with people. Amen. When all the while, because we are trying to live someone else's dreams, we're trying to live. That's why you have to, even though social media is a wonderful tool, it really is, However, some of us are addicted to it. Pray for prophetess, please.
Pray for your sister. Please pray for your sister.
Social media can become addictive, amen, because then when you start reading, and here's how I look at it, and it took me a while to realize that a lot of times people are saying a whole lot of stuff that they themselves are not living. They're not living it. It's somebody else's word. They didn't copy it off of somewhere else. They're pretending to be somebody that they're not. But technically, I could put any picture up there with any background behind me and make it look and present an image to you, any image that I want to you, to make you think that I am somewhere that I'm not until you actually visit me, see me for yourself, handle me. Then you begin to know the real truth. And what's interesting, myself, Apostle and myself have gone many places, many churches, many ministries we have gone, and they had this image, amen, of who they were. They had everything looking good. They had all the media. They had all the photo ops. They had all the internet. Everything looked wonderful. The World Wide Web, they looked like they were doing it big and doing it up. And when we actually physically met them. In fact, I will remember one ministry. We drove all the way, 4 or 5 hours out of the way, to find out that their church was in their garage. Found out that all those pictures that they took were either, they were props that were set up in their garage, and they went as far as to making the front room of their house, making it look grand and like everything was top notch, and you know they were living at that level. But when you got in there, when you just took one extra step past the front area, people didn't even have plates in their kitchen. Floors like this, sideways. Found out they only had one person in their ministry. But they set it up as though they had it going. And then when they came, when the people came and we began to minister, the men and women of God began to minister, we went to a hotel, and then you found out that the person who was the host, who was, quote, unquote, the anointed apostle, was sitting there arguing across the pulpit with a saint, to the point talking about we could take it outside. Wait a minute. Excuse me? So real men and women of God had to come behind her and put the situation back together and speak life and begin to, tell what the word is and bring everything into order. But you just made a spectacle of Christianity. You just made a spectacle of who Christ really is. We can't live like that, people of God. We have to be ones that bring his spirit to people and let him heal. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. God, help us all. Help us all, God, to reckon, to come face to face with the word. Help us all to begin to recognize who you really called us to be, to lay aside all this foolishness, God, all these weights, all these lies, these secret desires to be someone else besides who you called us to be. Help us to just be real with you and live, just to come into our heart and our lives and just be called us to be. We thank you and we praise you. Amen. If you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Come into my heart. Change me. Wash me in the blood of Jesus. I'll serve. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer, we're praying that you're being led, be led to a Bible-believing teaching, training ministry that's going to birth you, train you,
mature you in the things of God so that you can fulfill your assignment and be a strong man or woman of God in this army of the Lord. Amen. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. I welcome you again to join me for another broadcast of Prophetic Atmosphere next Thursday at 7 p.m. But I want you to join us for our live Christ the King Redemptive Ministries live show. I don't want to call it a show, but our live church worship hour. Amen. Worship experience, amen, on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. Amen. Oh, I don't want to forget this Friday. I'm having my Women of Prophetic Destiny Fellowship Conference September 19th through the 21st. Amen. Join us right here, 956 North Cocoa Boulevard, Suite 1121. And then in October, join me again for my conference. Amen. You don't want to miss it, October 16th through the 19th. Amen. And you will see us live on the air Friday, amen, 7 p.m. Join us. Love all of you to life. See you again. Be blessed in the Lord. Good night.